Welcome back. You're here with Dave and Rob. Faisal, of course, on holidays, as we've said, for this weekend. So, Rob, you've been good enough to sit in, and I appreciate that. We have a regular recurring guest come back, Michael Sager, who's going to be joining us here in a moment. He's a vice president, multi-asset and currency at CIBC Asset Management. And, Rob, what makes Michael a unique and, I think, a really valuable guest for us is this idea of multi-asset. Mm-hmm. So, Michael and his team get to look at all kinds of things, commodities, currencies, precious metals, stocks, bonds, and take a look across all those asset classes to determine where the best opportunities lie and where the best or where the biggest risks also lie and how to both protect and profit from that.
Right.
So always encouraged when Michael joins us. Welcome back to the show, Michael. Appreciate you joining us and taking some time with us today.
Thanks. Always a pleasure to be here.
Michael, we're going to start with this idea. I probably did a bit of a haphazard job of introducing the idea of multi-asset here, but you are a group of portfolio managers run a particular strategy that's a multi-asset absolute return strategy. Now, that's a mouthful for most people, and really maybe where we'll start this conversation is because I do think that you're in a unique position to look across all asset classes. Give us a sense of what a multi-asset absolute return strategy is all about.
Well, it's about trying to add value regardless of whatever risk is in front of you. So if you think about, you know, the volatility we've seen in the markets over the last several months caused by, you know, worries about what the Bank of Canada is going to do or worries about what the Russian army is going to do, thinking about COVID, all of those present challenges. And the objective of a multi-asset strategy is to have enough tools in the toolbox, enough assets at your disposal that we can pivot where necessary to add value regardless of what's in front of us. So that's the challenge.
That's a really good sort of segue into what's going on right now. You talked about various risks out in the market. There's always things to worry about. It doesn't really matter what period of time you're talking about. But investors have come out of 2021 and into 2022. And so right out of the gates, Michael, there's been a ton of volatility. And maybe we can just start there. Share with us your insights as to where that volatility is coming from. And then we'll do a little future gazing later.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's two primary sources. One is geopolitics and what's going to happen between Russia and the Ukraine, or Russia and NATO more broadly. So that's one. Mm-hmm. But that so far has been the minor player, as it is. The major risk has been around policy. What is particularly the US Federal Reserve trying to achieve? How quickly are they going to take away some of the liquidity in the economy? Can the economy stand on its own feet with central banks tightening? What's going to happen to growth? What's going to happen to inflation as we move forward? So I think trying to digest and understand central bankers has been the big risk so far this year.
Well, and Michael, if you're able, I'd like you to speak just a little bit about where we are in the process, because, you know, again, it doesn't matter what crisis we face. Typically, there's some pretty common elements of when we go into the crisis, central banks tend to respond in a certain way. Economies repair themselves over time. Then we get into this acceleration or growth phase, and central banks, you know, operate under certain conditions there as well. And maybe you can speak to us about where we are in that cycle right now, and maybe give our viewers a little bit of a historical expectation of what tends to happen when we're coming into and through a recovery phase.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, where we're at now is that I think central banks have suddenly come to the view that we've got too much of a good thing going on in terms of growth. If you think back a year or so, when inflation started to increase a little bit, everybody talked about it being temporary. We were in that camp too. It's temporary due to some bottlenecks, whether it's shortage of computer chips or shortage of cars, whatever it was. Over the last couple of months, central banks have pivoted. They now think that we've got more of an inflation problem, a persistent one, than they thought. So they need to be more proactive in terms of slowing the economy down. Now, that doesn't mean crashing the economy. It doesn't mean trying to generate a recession. It means trying to slow growth, slow inflation, so that we can sustain this cyclical upswing that we've been in for quite a while now. So that's where we're at. It's a hard job to precisely achieve a nice soft landing where growth is good, inflation is low, and risk assets are just fine. It's a pretty difficult job. So there's risks on either side. Central banks, as I said earlier, might do too much. They might do too little, which leaves them needing to do a lot more down the road. Either of those risks are problematic. So we're trying to land on this very narrow, you know, we used to call it Goldilocks scenario. We're trying to achieve that nice landing. You know, our best guess is that they'll achieve it, but it's not without risks. So that's the backdrop. Let's think about what that means for, you know, assets like equities and bonds. Well, when central banks start to tighten, of course, or signal that they're going to tighten, markets get nervous, they get volatile. It tends to be a little bit of a problematic month or two. But then when we get used to what the Fed, the Bank of Canada are trying to achieve, things settle down, you know, growth is still good. That will still be okay for equities. So that's the normal course of events. And so I'd expect that to be the course of events again this time round. Some short-term volatility followed by okay, unspectacular, but okay returns to risk assets like equities.
Mm-hmm. Michael, and you've given us a pretty good idea that there's lots of things to think about, and there is some uncertainty as the path going forward, and we know that the markets hate uncertainty, so it is reasonable, Rob, to expect that there is going to be volatility in various asset classes. After the break, Michael, I'm going to talk to you a little bit about, I want to get your sense of which asset classes are benefiting from you know, the current environment, where we need to protect. But I am curious just on your thoughts around inflation. We get lots of questions about inflation. Of course, we've had some very high prints here recently. Inflation in the United States in particular tends to, or seems to be trending still a little bit higher. And the market, of course, is trying to figure out what that means from a central bank perspective. My expectation, or the reading, is that markets are pricing at something like 6 interest rate increases and one, maybe even a supersized 50 point increase. I'd like just to get your sense of whether you think the market is getting a little bit too hawkish based on the guidance that central banks have given us, or what you and your team's feeling is around interest rate increases here.
Yeah, I'd say I think based on the latest guidance from central banks like the Fed, the market is probably there or thereabouts, consistent with our view, as you just laid out, in terms of, you know, 5 or 6 rate increases over the next year or 14 months, something like that. You know, on inflation, arithmetically, we're probably near the peak and we'll start to see a slowdown in year-on-year inflation rates. The challenge is that, as I said, we've seen a spread of the cause of inflation from temporary bottlenecks to some more evidence of wage inflation. And what the central banks need to avoid is a wage price spiral. So when wages feed off of prices and prices feed off of wages, that's the key. So even if arithmetically inflation rate will probably start to fall back in the spring, it's what's under the hood which is the real deal.
Yeah, that's good. We're gonna leave it there for a moment. But when we come after the break, come back, Michael, I'm going to ask you some questions around how do we both profit and protect in the environment that you've just laid out. But Rob, one of the things that happens, I mean, inflation will go up, it will come down. Markets will move higher, they'll move lower. Bond, you know, all these things are happening through different business cycles. And the fact is people have very long retirements. And so we need to be able to navigate through all of these different environments. And we're going to talk about how to do that, how to position, not just in today's environment, but for the long term to ensure that you can enjoy the retirement lifestyle that you want. We're doing that at our upcoming seminar. Why don't you give us the details on that?
You're right, Dave. Yeah, and inflation is, we're looking at that currently, but that can last, and retirements can last 30 years.
Yep.
So tune in to our retirement seminar Tuesday, February 22nd at 7 p.m. This is live online. To register, go to morethanmoneyradio.com.
Okay, stick around after the break. As I said, we'll ask Michael a little bit about how to take advantage of this. So if you can go anywhere in the world, buy any asset class you want, which one should you be buying and which should you be protecting against? You're on 770 CHQR and More Than Money.